Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hello, this is Man Baggage. My name's Russell Kane, and this is a space where we get men, boys, and everyone in between together to discuss what makes men tick. I keep trying to make the shows as diverse as possible, hoping to find a lack of patterns, but sadly the opposite appears to be happening. No matter how wide I cast my net, Neanderthals seem to be the same. They just come in different colours. I'm always joined by a female auditor. Today it's Lindsay Kane, my wife, who will call bullshit or stereotype if we drift into, well, you know what girls are like or anything like that. The male heads I'm drilling down into today, perfect for what we're talking about. We're talking about detail and people that are detail oriented. And in my mind, I've got two completely opposite bookings here. Josh does the same job as me. Hiya, Josh. How you doing?
Hello. You okay?
Yes, I am, of course, joined by stand-up comedian Josh Jones. If you didn't recognise him from that voice, you've never seen him. It's as simple as that. Seeing him once, you don't forget how he sounds. How are you, Josh?
Yeah, I'm not bad. I've just been saying, so sorry that I'm the one letting the Zoom team down. My laptop's fucked, so I'm in my wardrobe on my phone.
See, now, I thought it was on purpose because of our second panellist, Rhys Morgan. I thought you'd gone into your wardrobe to show the full extent of your fashion choices before joining us on Zoom, because Rhys Morgan, as well as handbags and capital letters, fashion influencer, guru. I mean, I've just realised I'm still in my pyjamas. I've really let myself down.
I've got my pyjamas on underneath, yeah.
Well, it's fine. Look, it looks to me like you're rocking it like some sort of deep V leopard skin cardigan. Would that be a fair description?
Leopard print. Well, leopard print's my favourite colour, so...
Like, listen, clear this up for me, because I was told that leopard print is a neutral. That's bullshit, surely.
I cast it as a colour. Yeah, it's neutral enough.
That's unbelievable, isn't it? A leopard print is a neutral. I'd love to go back to the 80s and tell them it's going to be okay. Just hang in.
Leopard print is my mum's favourite colour. And once we went to a funeral and she was doing the eulogy and everyone was in all black, apart from my mum, who was in a leopard print coat. Oh, and it felt like disrespectful, but I loved it.
I think I'd get along with your mum.
Yeah.
She could have at least gone panda, Josh, like, you know, panda print. Show a bit of respect. Anyway, we're talking about details, people that are detail-oriented versus people who drift through life having creative ideas and leaving a trail of destruction behind them. So if you don't know what that is, detail-oriented, very interested in paying lots of attention to details. This is in the news a lot at the moment. It's all over our social media as the latest fashion accessory of 2022, becoming ADHD, hits a strong trend on the catwalk. People are talking about their relationship to detail, their relationship to focus. People tell me about 5 times a day that I'm ADHD. As far as I know, I'm the only person in my group that isn't. I'm a complete cast out through not wearing this year's must-see accessory item of an ADHD diagnosis. That said, flipping on its head, it must be something people are profoundly interested in for a reason. Our attention is split these days. If this ADHD it really is on the rise, as we must believe it is, then why? Why are we struggling with our attention detail? Why is the choice between hyper-focus or no focus at all? We're going to get right into it, guys. But I'm going to go straight off the bat with you, Josh Jones. In your experience, the male experience versus the female experience, that includes all your dads, uncles, brothers, friends, boyfriends, whatever. Do you think women are better at paying attention to detail than men, or is it a complete roll of the genetic dice?
Yeah, I actually would say yeah. My mum's really detailed and she never forgets anything. Whereas my dad has forgot my birthday a bunch of times. So going off that, I would say, yeah.
Good. Strong answer out of the bat, Reese. Now, obviously, I mean, detail literally has two meanings in your business. The detailing of an item, it all comes down to the stitching and those final parts, particularly on a handbag, which is your area of expertise. But what do you think in your overall life experience?
Well, like you say, I work in the luxury sector, so everything is about detail, whether it's like client experience or the way we communicate with people, like you said, the product. But I think in day-to-day life, like I do generally think women have a honed in on a focus of attention to detail, but I don't know if Josh will agree with me. I think a gay man has it over anyone. But I think as a gay man, I feel like my attention to detail is pretty good, and I'm very OCD about everything I do in every aspect of my life. So
who would win in gays versus women, the details final?
I think I would let the gays down. I think a lot of... Like, all of my, like, partners have been very detailed orientated, and then I'm just, like, the fuck-up who annoys them because I'm like, oh, that pasta's boiled over and there's water on the floor.
See, I'd be chasing around with a broom. My partner is, he's actually ADHD, believe it or not.
No.
We're complete polar opposites. Yeah. We're complete polar opposites, and he's like all over the place. I chase him around with a Hoover. I think there are different spectrums within all the different communities.
All right, Lindsay, what about this for a slightly trickier question then? Is it seen as a feminine trait to be detailed? You know, it doesn't matter what body you're born in, but is there something seen as a little bit girly about worrying about the details, so about manly, about fuck it, it'll work itself out. Do you see what I mean?
No, I wouldn't say it's a feminine trait, but I think what it comes down to is, do you care about something? So, like, if I really care and give a fuck about something, I'm going to make sure that every detail is seen to. Like, I'm a makeup artist originally, so, like, I love makeup. Like, you know, I saw your lips, Reese. Obviously, you won't be able to see, but a really nice lip colour. So it's all attention to detail and making sure, like, it's the right shade, you know, tones and things like that. But if I don't care about something, if I'm not interested, then I won't have that attention to detail. And I've learned that it can be very costly and expensive to rectify if you don't have that attention to detail initially.
What about you, Josh? Once you're interested in something, like say you really were focused on spaghetti that night, do you still find you struggle?
No, because I'd like bake pies all the time, right? And when I make my own short crust pastry, I'll always have an hole in it, but then I'll just get some more pastry and cover it up. It's fine, isn't it? Do you know what I mean?
But you're quite, for people that don't know your work, as well as being a very, very funny stand-up, you're profoundly interested in history as well. And I would have thought people that are interested in history are addicted to details.
Yeah, but I'm more interested in the gossip of who shagged who. I don't remember, you know, what war happened on what day and what hill. Do you know what I mean? Like,
Anne Boleyn were a slapper, yeah, got her head cut off.
Yeah, it's more stuff like that I love. Like, because I do love history, but I'm not like, you know, I went to the London Dungeons this weekend and it was the fourth time I've been this year. When I say I love history, I love it in like, oh, people dressing up a bit of drama and then finding out who was, you know, having an affair.
You need to take Stacey Dooley's job. I'd watch the shit out of every documentary.
So would I.
So when we talk about being detail-orientated, what's society's views of people that are more detail-focused? Do you see what I mean? You know, like the way some traits society looks down on, but we need them. We did a show about introversion once, and I profoundly believe introverts get looked over in our society when they often have the best ideas just being spoken with a quieter voice, for example. But when it comes to detail, being detail-oriented, how do you think society views, if we go, right, we'll go to Reese, that's our details person. Is it like, oh, it's the details person, or is it, oh, get the details person? Do you see what I mean?
I think it's a bit of both. I think it's really easily, you can easily see people that are just doing it for like social media and just want people to view them as the most organized, detail-led person, and actually beneath the cracks, they're generally, their lives are normally falling apart. And I think there's the flip side, like you said, like myself, I am a very detail-oriented person. I do think it's nurture over nature. I think I've grown up in an environment where my dad and my mom are both very detailed OCD people, and I think that's rubbed off on me. And I think it can also go the other way, where if you're really pounded into you that you have to be detail-edged, you can go the other way. So I think it's a mixture.
And Linz, what do you think about, I'm not saying this, I'm just saying this is the way society might see it, the link between lack of attention to detail and laziness. We know that's bollocks because we've all got brains, but let's be honest, there is a sort of tendency of society to look at people who don't look into details as a little bit can't be arsed.
It's like, okay, so Christmas cards or birthday cards, you hate them. You hate them with every bone and hair and fibre in your body and every cell. So you don't care. So you just like, and when I put a card physically in front of you, you're like, oh, you have like the biggest tantrum. And then you'll probably just do like your initials because you can't be bothered. And like, you've got no attention to detail for that because you don't care for it. But when you care about something and you want to be successful in something, you go over the top and you're probably the other side of the spectrum where you're a bit too attention to detail with things.
Right. But there are plenty of business leaders. I don't know, your Elon Musk and that of this world. It's probably a bad example because he's profoundly addicted to detail. But plenty of business leaders and plenty of creatives that don't give a shit about detail, that walk through the office missing bits. I know writers, talented writers who publish in-depth articles in The Guardian that can't spell, can't be asked to check their spelling or grammar. Can we dispense with this myth that it's lazy to not have attention to
it? I don't think it's lazy. I really don't think it, because I think sometimes if you're too that way where you really focus on every attention to details, I think it can hold you back. And I think a lot of times why people don't start with things, whether it's a business idea or something, it holds them back because they have to have it perfect. And sometimes things can't be perfect. So they'll rather not do it or start something because it's not perfect. And I think that can hold them back.
I'm definitely that person that, like, if I'm doing something, I put my whole 100% to it, and it does hinder me because I don't get the time to do other things. So
I'm definitely not that person. I am, like, at the moment. So we just finished my tour, so then I've got to write the next tour. And then, so doing new material, instead of focus on one routine at once, I'm writing three new ones at one time. And I do multiple things at once because I don't know why. I just always do. But I always have seven different things on the burn instead of just focusing one at a time.
But do you think that helps you create, Josh? Or do you think if you could click your fingers and focus on one thing at a time, you'd be better? Because it might well be that your creative process needs all those plates spinning. Because I find if I focus on one thing too much, you can choke a bit. So say you're trying to write a routine about house plants, just because there's a plant in front of me, right? You're trying to write a routine about, I've got some new house plants. But if you were to focus too deep on that one routine, you might not get to the funny solution. Whereas when you're spinning plates and you're looking sideways at a creative problem, sometimes you can get the funnies quicker or the design quicker or whatever. Do you think something in that?
I don't know. I just think it's the way my brain works. Like, even when you're on stage and you're trying the new stuff, then, like, you just, like, I don't know, like, the other day I was doing new material and then I noticed that someone kept looking at me bum. So then I was like, so then everything just changed. And I was, like, talking about my ass, but I had work, I had to focus on trying to get my new jokes out, but I was distracted by my own ass.
To be clear, that was unprofessional of me and I did apologise.
But, like, I don't know, like, when I work and stuff, like, I can't sit down and just be like, oh, I've got to work. Like, if something came in and it was a big job and I have to write for it, I would normally would go for, like, a two-hour walk to be like, right, I need to like, get myself in the mood. I can't just, like, write, do stuff. Maybe I am lazy.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
So, Linz, I'd be interested to know what this piece of research now. We know biology is not destiny, Twitter, please. I like being alive, don't attack me. However, it's another. I love these uncomfortable things that remind us we are biological entities. And they've tested this, and apparently men are better at seeing things in the distance, while women are better at focusing on things at close range. We're talking literally here, not conceptually. So researchers from a British study asked a group of 48 men and women to use a laser pointer to mark the midpoint of lines on a piece of paper at different distances. Men were more accurate than women when the paper was placed at a distance of 100 centimetres. Women were more accurate when the target was only 50 centimetres away, within arm's reach. And they believe this might be due to our hunter-gatherer past, and it reflects how men and women's brains might have evolved differently over time. Now, I'm not suggesting we can extrapolate this to attention to detail. I wouldn't be that lazy. But it is interesting, isn't it, that there seems to be in the hardware, and as we know, fuck hardware, you can do anything with the hardware you're given, but still, interesting to reflect, is it not? Do you find yourself, Reese, like walking the handbag to the end of the room to get a better look at it?
Oh, 100%. I don't know if you probably haven't seen my show, but like one of the things we do is a sense of smell. Like that's part of our authentication process. We go so in depth with the detail in every part of we do. So yeah, definitely I find myself doing that.
What do you think of that, Linz? That men, well, when things are slightly further away, seem to be able to focus on them. Does that resonate with you? And women are like, bring it here. I want a fucking good look at it right up in my face.
Yeah, I know. I would agree with that. And that makes total sense from the past of, you know, hunting and stuff like that. And I think it's just the way, like, we do it the same. You're really good at in looking into the future. Lindsay, do not overbook yourself. Don't take too many things in one day, because you won't be able to do it. You know, you won't be able to get from A to B in 2 minutes, you know, and you're really good at seeing the potential future, whereas I'm not as good.
It's a good example. Yeah, Josh, so we'll have a thing where Lindsay will go, look, we've just been invited out to a breakfast brunch at 8 a.m. I'm like, yeah, but we're out clubbing the night before. Yeah, but it'll be fine, won't it? No, can't you not jump into the future and imagine that alarm going off at 7 a.m. and going, what the fuck have I done? I can. I feel the alarm of the future ringing every time. What are you like with stuff like that, Josh?
Well, because, yeah, like when it's that old morning and then you've done something the night before, one thing I am quite good at is booking time off.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So like I say to my agent, like there needs to be one day a week where I do nothing, and I like to have like time where I just don't see anyone, so then when I can go out I can be dead social or whatever, but I need just one day a week where I'm like, I don't go on my phone, fuck everyone off, and I normally just watch Bette Midler films really, but like just like
it's another stereotype demolished, Josh. Yeah.
I like to plan. Like I needed like a day a week where just like a lazy day where I do a bit of ironing or whatever, and then
recharge.
I can recharge and then I can do the rest of the week. If I don't have like a day to chill out, I get overwhelmed.
Yeah.
I wonder if there's a prejudice in our society, Reese, where if a man walks into your business tomorrow, a man of any type, of any persuasion, and is super focused on this particular type of, this is what I just want to focus on, this type of handbag. I'm an expert in Birkin handbags. That's all I'm interested in. And everyone's like, oh my God, you're so super focused. But when a girl walks in like that, she's seen as picky or bitchy or demanding. So do you think women, when they attempt to be laser focused and detailed, and this is what I'm going to be seen as, there's a prejudice against them in society?
I think somewhat. I mean, my full team, I'm the only male, well, questionable male on my whole team. I work with females. So they're all super laser focused and it shines through in their expertise. But I think, like you said, a big percentage of our clients are men. They do come in with a laser focus as to what they think their wives want, but guaranteed it's not what their wives want as a gift or anything. So I think there is a warped sense of...
I'll give us an example. She really wants an Adidas bag with a head logo at the end. Get the gym gear in.
You'd be surprised. I mean, I've been doing this for so many years, and like now I've got it down to a T. When a man comes in and they're like, "Oh, my wife wants this massive bag with this hardware, this bright pink color," and can I just ask a few questions about your wife? And I slowly learn that she's just going to want a mini bag with nothing else and no frills or anything like that. So I think men do have an idea of what they want in their mind, but it's sometimes not always what a woman wants. So
when I bought my mum an handbag for Christmas or whatever, I've just gone into the shop and shown them pictures of her old stuff.
We get that, but they don't want the same bag again. So
No, but I'm like, well, you know what sort of vibe she's going for.
Then all switched on as you, Josh.
So, Rhys, I feel like we should get you and Ross to have a conversation about future potential gifts, FYI, just, you know,
future. All right. How many bags do you need? You've only got two arms.
Listen, it's not. It's an investment. And just think your daughter's going to inherit them one day. Think it's an investment. That's the way you need to look at it.
Do you know how many times a day I hear it's just a handbag? How many bags do you need? All of this stuff. But Lindsay is right. These women are very, very switched on and they're smart. They're investing in pieces that they're going to make money on later in life.
This is an expensive recording.
The bags like growing money, though, like.
Yeah, no, more than growing money. More than red wine, actually. It's like a Birkin or a Chanel bag beats gold or the S&P 500 or investing in an ISA. I mean, I'd rather wear my investment than have it sitting in a bank.
I'm the same. I suppose I can see it. Listen, we're way off the track now, but I am like it with watches. Watches grow, so okay? Exactly. As long as you buy me a watch of equal value, why don't we just both save our money and buy fucking nothing? Right. Because it's going to cancel each other out anyway. Well, Lindsay, what do you think of this idea, though, that a man who bursts in tomorrow to our business, this is it, these are the details I'm focused on, and then a woman could burst in a parallel universe using the same tone, the same voice, focused on the same things, and be seen as, God, she's a bit fucking up herself, isn't she?
I think traditionally, like, I feel that especially because I deal with property and it's predominantly male, at first I'd be like, oh, I'd let them sort of help and tell me. But now I'm like, no, I want this, this and this. And one of them laughed and made a comment going, God, you're bossy, aren't you? And I'm like,
that's what I mean.
No, I've just been fucked off and pissed around so many fucking times. I'm not going to have it anymore. I've reached my limit. So a man would be seen as, oh, wow, he knows what he's doing. He's really confident. Is this? Whereas a woman would be seen as, oh, she's a bitch. Oh, she's bossy. Oh, she's demanding, a diva. So I 100% have been on the receiving end of that. But the end result is I don't care what people think in that sense.
Josh, you think there's that prejudice as well? And then gay men versus straight men? Or
oh, yeah. Like if I was like, oh, the sky's green, we might be like, oh, he's a fucking diva. Do you know what I mean? I'm like, the sky's blue. I mean, if I point out a fact, then they're like, oh, do you know what I mean? Like, because I sometimes will occasionally get called sassy, and I'm like, oh no, because I don't think of myself as like, oh, sassy, but like someone will call me sassy, and I'm like, oh no, I've just corrected you because you was in the wrong, which is fine.
I bet that diffuses the situation.
Yeah. But no, I do think it's worse for women. Like that's like a big sexist thing of women being called like bossy and stuff. I've seen it a lot with my like female friends. Like they get called like bossy or just a bitch or whatever. And it's like, no, she's working and she's doing her job well.
It's like, you know, when I've watched these documentaries of Beyonce, or especially Beyonce, there was a documentary that she did and she was like, this is how it has to be. This is what it is. And this is how it has to be. And I remember speaking to someone, they're like, gosh, she's all right, bitch, like really bossy and demanding. It's like, no, she's got a lot of pressure on her head. It's got to be the best performance of her life. And the only way to do that is she's got to bring out the best in everybody else. And also she's paying them probably a lot of money. She wants them to be the best because it reflects on her as well. So it's interesting to see what people's perspectives are not what perspective, it is perspective, isn't yeah, it? I've yeah, got no. lost my
perception,
mind.
Perception.
Yeah, perception is yeah. of other people. That's yeah. what I'm trying to say. Yeah.
I think it just boils down to attention to detail, though. She just knows exactly what she wants. And yeah. I think that's, like Josh said, I think there is a connotation with gay men that we are this diva. And I mean, I'm literally from appearances like a cookie cut out of what you think a gay man looks like. And I think people approach me with that, that I'm going to be like a bitchy person that's got loads of attitude and I've got a resting bitch face. I don't really smile often, but I shouldn't feel like I have to justify myself and say, I'm actually a nice person. I just know exactly what I want and how I'm going to get it. And I think it's the same for women in that sense.
I think people yeah. that smile too much can look a bit thick. Like I smile enough, but if you're constantly smiling, it's like, is there some sort of challenge there?
I think I struggle with that more than the sexy comment, actually.
Yeah. Right, I've got a difficult question for Reese, and it might just be because traditional sexism, but you'll know what's going on with contemporary design in all fashion, but particularly, let's use handbags as an example because you know your shit backwards. Why is it there's so many women focused on the details of, let's say, a handbag, but so many of them seem to be designed by men?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's a historical problem within the fashion industry, but I guess every design is influenced by a woman. If you take the Birkin, for example, the design is based around Jane Birkin and her needs of what she wanted at that time. And the same for the Kelly, if you're talking about Grace Kelly, they were designed for these women. So I think that's obviously the argument there. But I think women, like Lindsay said, like she obviously loves her handbags and she wants to collect them, but she's buying them for investment. And I think more and more women are so much wiser to that. So looking at details in all aspects of their life, like just knowing that it's going to last them, that it's going to like go with many outfits and things. I think women are just smart about these things. Whereas a man, I mean, my partner obviously is gay, but he's very different to me. He's polar opposite. He'll be happy with a black t-shirt as long as it's made well, whereas I'll properly go into the detail of like every part of what I'm buying. So I think women have that as well.
So do you think, though, if society became more equal, we would see an equal amount of female designers as male designers in fashion? Because it's not shifting as fast as we would expect. So we're becoming more equal. We're having conversations around gender, all these things happening. Yet we're still seeing, in a creative realm, overrepresentation by men. Why is that?
I think because if you look at big fashion houses, at like the main ones that we talk about, the boardrooms are men. So they appoint men. And I think, like you said, it is changing and it is progressing, but in a slow way. But I hope to see more changes in the future. I mean, I'd rather, as a woman, Lindsay, I'm sure you'd rather buy a handbag that was made by a woman for a woman. So I think it's definitely a conversation that should be picked up.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to take a break there, but I just want to talk about Calm quickly just before we end part one. The campaign against living miserably, Calm as they're also known, they've teamed up with Declan Rice to show that no one deserves to struggle on their own. They've launched a new film that shows that you don't have to be alone to feel alone. Right now, the Calm helpline is answering more calls around loneliness than anything else. And 3 million people in the UK say they feel lonely. That's enough people to fill Wembley Stadium 33 times over. We're here to let you know that however you feel right now, you're never alone and Calm are always on your side. Search the hashtag #TackleItTogether or visit thecalmzone.net to find out more about it.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.